Where's that creepy fucker?
Yeah.
How you doing, man?
I'm amazing, sir. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm good, man. It's so good to see you again, man.
Absolutely.
We just, you know, we'll fill the people in here. We just got, I love it, dude. You got the mind freak look going on so hard today. That's beautiful. Yeah, dude, we had the luck to be able, and I'm just, for the record, I am on fumes. I just moved twice yesterday. It was a whole lot of fun. So forgive me if I'm a little bit slower than I usually am, but no, dude, let's dive right into it. Tell the people a little bit about yourself. Give them the two minute and we'll crack into it.
Yeah, absolutely. So you want to just jump right in and just roll, just keep going, or?
Yeah, no, it's all good, dude. We're all good. Yeah, dude, we kicked it in Indiana the other day. That's where I was getting to. We kicked it in Indiana the other day and got to catch up. And we decided, like, hey, we need to do a high vibration hypnosis podcast because I'm a proponent of fucking hypnosis. And, you know, I have a clinical therapist that's also a clinical hypnosis person, mm-hmm. Yeah, I do it once a week. I do a hypnosis every week for at least 30 minutes. So I'm interested to hear more about, you know, your take on it, what you're doing, and what, you know, you mentioned some interesting topics to me earlier on the DM. So I'm excited to see where this goes. And thanks for being here, Nick.
Sure. Absolutely. What is going on, everyone? My name is Nick. I go by Nick Gnosis, and I am a performance hypnotist. And I've been doing this for quite a while now, loving it. I work with everyone on a variety of different things, but my typical client avatar is going to be someone who is stressed, overwhelmed, feels a little bit stuck, stagnant, someone who's already hit a decent amount of success, but that person wants to take it to the next level. Perhaps there's a limiting belief in the way. Perhaps they're not getting the sleep that they need. They're focusing, worrying, spending mental and emotional energy where it's not necessary. And they know deep down that you can go to the next level, but something's just keeping you back there. Let's take care of that, right?
And dude, so, that's so true, man. Like, I literally talk about that with my therapist, and we go through that. Those exact things that you just said are the things that I work on with my hypnotherapist. So
really,
I'm with you.
That's really cool. That's really, really cool. Yeah, I've actually, for me, this is really cool because I've had a lot of success with it myself. And to be clear, I used to be very skeptical. I used to be kind of like, what is this? I don't know. Those people, they're like psychics or fortune tellers or, you know, some kind of thing. I was skeptical, and I'm a very rational, very pragmatic type of person. But I had great success with it. I'll get into the story at some point. Of how I kind of came across this. But in any case, some of the results that made me get on board with this was, quitting smoking cannabis, which is something that I did every day for about 6 or 7 years, of course, is legal where I was living at the time. And, it's one of those things that's maybe not super destructive to the average person, right? And he's got big old grin right here. And, you know, some people react differently, but for me, it ended up being kind of like, I don't necessarily want to keep doing this forever. Let's take care of it. So that is one thing that I did. I used to grind my teeth every night. I had this bite guard that I had to wear to keep me from like grinding my teeth. I almost cracked one of them. That completely stopped. Sleep is way better. Not stressing. A whole bunch of limitations that I've overcome, a whole bunch of past trauma that I've released, just a short list of benefits that I've had personally, which is part of what makes me like, I want to share this with other people, you know?
That's really cool, man. I mean, I remember, seeing you go through the change from a distance, of course.
Yeah.
We would meet on our the mastermind call we're in, and about one, a couple times a week. And yeah, I got to see you because like you did not strike me as a guy then. Like, I remember when you said that, you're like, yeah, I'm a hypnotist. I was like, what the fuck did Nick say? But then you start talking about the results you have with it, and you're like, oh, okay, yeah. And it really does work and whatnot. And I mean, I got to pull this list up here that you DM'd me because it's so good. And I want to get right into some of these topics because they're juicy.
Absolutely.
So, widespread societal hypnosis, gurus and cults. Can you explain that, please, sir?
Absolutely. Yeah. So,
dive in, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we're talking about hypnosis, most people's conception or idea of this is there's a person, a hypnotist, doing one individual. They're saying things, they're snapping their fingers, and they're saying, you're getting very sleepy, right? They put you into a trance, and then you wake back up.
Yeah.
And yes, that's one mode, but we have what's called a hypnotic modality, which is a more general set of principles or structures that applies on a wider scale. So here's one example is religion. And this is not a knock on religion. You know, there's many people who have improved their lives a lot, but let's just look at how it kind of shapes people's beliefs. So Philip, you walk into a church, what are some of the things you see there?
Blondes.
What?
Blondes.
You see blondes in a church?
Yes, I see all the blonde heads and I go sit next to one of them.
Okay. Forgot who I was talking to for a second here.
What was the question?
What do you see in a church? What is it in the environment when you walk into a church?
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost is present. Okay, perfect. So I'm going to go and give a more concrete answer here. So some things you can expect to see in a church, you know, rather than abstract, is there's pews, there's probably an elevated stage, there's a pastor, a holy person on the stage speaking into a microphone, there's some organs and beautiful music, there's stained glass, there's images, icons of, you know, Jesus Christ or whoever, there's a holy book, a sacred document that you abide by. And a lot of this is done to create a structure of a story, a belief structure, and that you kind of fall into. And so putting an elevated holy person on the stage is kind of like giving this one-upsmanship. So authority is one ingredient that you need in a hypnotic modality, right? And then this is the book. This book wasn't written by a man. It was written by God, right? Who are you to argue with this? This is not satire. I'm not being.
Oh, and bro, look, we're having fun, man.
So you're
Nick. It's me.
We're sitting. Okay, so we're both.
Nobody's listening. I promise.
We're both sitting in church. We're in the back. We got a flask. We're learning, and we're on Phillip's next to his blonde, and we're in the hard wooden pew, and our butts hurt, and we're staring, and what do we see? Candles and beautiful imagery and this holy thing. That's an eye fascination. It's a sensory input. The lights, the sounds, all that stuff draws you in, yes. Takes up your attention. Yes. And then you have a belief system, a book, a set of 12 rules, whatever it is that you follow. And so when you put people into these things, they now have a more predictable set of behaviors and beliefs, and everything gets rationalized through it. You say, I sinned or whatever, right? And now it's all filtered through that. So media, social media is a great one. So the trance, no, you're not like asleep, but you're not fully there when you're scrolling on Facebook, Instagram, whatever. You get sucked into it. It's a repeating behavior. You're triggering some dopamine and you become more suggestible. And that is the operative thing in hypnosis is suggestion. So you get sponsored content, you get stopped by an advertisement or whatever, it's targeted, and now you're more suggestible to that idea.
That's actually an extremely interesting thing to bring up. We were just talking about it today. I was talking to Travis the other day.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Has a fucking genius IQ, like literally. And no, he was just telling me how like you when we were talking about what does it mean, the effect on someone's life to actually be open-minded, mm-hmm. and just kind of the difference in that. And so so you're talking about exactly this. So this is something I was just talking about with a good friend. And it's like, this is some crazy stuff, people. Like anybody listening to this right now, like really needs to understand that this applies to everybody. there's nobody that's immune to this fully. You know, I definitely want to talk about like how to become immune to it, because I think that's important too. And no, I think that's just an extremely big point to make, is it's just like you become more. So the way like you become more suggestible, like you just said, as you're going through social media. And so the way I would add to that is you are the, so right, the, when your state goes up, the better and better and better and better you feel. That's kind of how I think of it. Right. That's, so it's like, right, you always kind of close on a high note, right? You always, you know, it's always like good feelings, close, right? Yeah. Anybody that does sales knows that shit. So it's a little bit of that kind of we're talking about. So I just love to hear some of your thoughts on that.
Yeah. So how do you kind of direct someone's state to an optimal buying temperature or peak buying, whatever? There's so many different acronyms and stuff, but it's all thing. You're getting someone to the boiling point, right? Yeah. So, you know, and our listeners undoubtedly know that people tend to make decisions more so off of emotions and feelings rather than logic. And like he said, no one's immune to it. So the best you can do is to just kind of have an idea of what's going on, right? And so think about a story. Also, we're going to talk about stories with a movie. You know, when do they drop in the climax? Right. So if we want to give our listeners a little nugget here, and you know, we can talk about hypnotic selling and closing and all that, what you generally want to do is create that end result vividly in their mind.
Yeah. So
if I am hypnotizing someone who's already been hypnotized, it's easy. I don't really have to do much. This is called vivification or revivification induction. And it goes like this. So say that you got hypnotized at a stage show and I'd ask you these questions. Like, who is this person? Was it a guy or girl hypnotist? Do you remember what they were wearing? Where were you sitting? Who's next to you? Was it cold? Do you have shorts on that day? Yeah. Was there a light? How many lights? And
you're fucked up.
Right. And before I do, and then I just tap them on the forehead. I'm just like, what did the hypnotist say? How did he put you guys? Did he shake your hand? He touched your forehead? So what did he say? Funny. Did he say sleep? Right. And then they're done and they're there. Right. So this is what you do is if you want to, let's say you're talking about money-making product, increasing your wealth, financial freedom, more opportunities. That's all good stuff. Provided the person can deliver. So look, you kind of ask why, because it's like, say that you get an extra $5,000 a month, extra 10, 20, whatever. Well, what does that mean for you? What can you do with that? Okay, now I can take a vacation. Where'd you go? I want to go to the Maldives. Really? No way. In front, what would you do there? Oh, the resort. Oh, that's cool. Would you get one of those paddle boats? Oh yeah. And you're taking them there. What do you see? What do you hear? What do you taste? What do you smell? Engaging the five senses, the memory, the visualization of your mind. It's so, so vivid and real to the subconscious. It cannot tell the difference. So what else does it mean? If you have an extra $5,000 a month, you can get your car fixed, or you could just get a new car. No way. What kind of car? An Audi? Which one? The R8? Yeah, the R8. Okay. Yeah. Right. And then now they're sitting in the Audi R8 talking to you. And they're just like, let's do it. Let's get started. Right. And
well, it's very powerful because a lot of people don't take the time to do it. And I can say, I can even attest to this. I mean, it's based on the person's wherever their limiting beliefs lie. Yeah. Like some, or, you know, it's a combination of two things, right? They haven't taken the time to actually think about it like that. And a lot of people actually can't. Like they actually can't even raise their vibration enough to imagine themselves outside of the situation that they're in. Cause if they could, they would just get the fuck out of the situation.
Right.
Pretty much. Or, you know, it's something to that effect. So dog, I mean, it's, you know,
it sounds like a success ceiling that you're kind of talking about there where people.
Well, and I mean, and also like, just for the record, I mean, like anybody, I mean, we're talking like generalized sales talk here. This is not necessarily like anything that like you or I do like in our businesses. Like some of it is, some of it isn't.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I just think of like anybody that knows that's worked with me in the past as a client knows this is like, my clients are like my homies. Like,
yeah,
I'm like there for, you know what I'm saying? Not like, I really like to like, God, yeah, that's a creepy thought to like hypnotize somebody into a relationship. It's a creepy thought, but, no, man, it's just so useful to understand the mind and to understand why it works the way it does. And then, cause Travis and I were talking about this to where it's just like, dog, like, the degree to which people are predictable is quite interesting.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's here's an exercise is kind of look at yourself. So this comes, you said predictable. That reminds me of patterns. And one way to look at hypnosis, NLP, linguistics, whatever, is you're looking for patterns, setting patterns, pacing patterns, changing them, interrupting them, replacing them. And so to what degree are you and I predictable? Well, yeah, there's a circle of expectations, right? So I could expect you to wear a hoodie or a polo. If you were wearing a dress, that's outside the pattern, that's outside the circle of expectations. So do an audit and, you know, are you the person that if I said, hey, we're having a get together this weekend, we're going to do this, do you want to come? And you say no every single time, you have that pattern. That's what I associate you with. I'm not going to invite you, right? And if it's like you show up and every time that we go somewhere, you complain, oh, it's cold. It's too cold. Oh. It's too hot. That's a pattern. I'm not going to bring you there. Oh. So look at your own patterns and be real and ask other people and say, I track my time. You know, it was one of the things I did so reluctantly to see, okay, I've spent 90 minutes today thinking about this or pacing around the room doing this or watching stupid crap. Find your patterns, audit them, interrupt them, replace them. What pattern do you want to have?
That is incredibly valuable knowledge. Like that's just like incredibly useful and true. And like truly kind of a cheat code. I mean, if you can hone in on that on yourself by observing yourself and being aware of yourself, you know, that is how you make progress. You can't make progress without becoming aware of your problems and then solving them. Yeah. So, I mean, this head in the sand mentality that's just rampant these days where everybody just seems to have their head in the sand. Everybody's in la la land. Nobody's fucking really thinking about reality, bro. People are just head up their fucking ass, just like derpty, derpty, der, like my little life. And, you know, nobody's really considering what does it mean that, you know, at University of Chicago in the English department, you're not even allowed to go. You're not going to be admitted unless you are Black or you're going to be writing about Black people stuff, history, shit. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. Bro, in Seattle, if you do math, you're racist, bro. Come on, man. Chill fuck out. Chill out with that math, man. So, I mean, really, bro, like, it's just absolutely completely fucking insane. Head up their ass, just complete, like, giving into short-term pleasure, like, they're just going along with whatever narrative and just fucking, because, oh, I get to go fucking set some shit on fire. Whoa! And that's as fucking, like, if they even thought that much. Like, it's, you know. So how do we hypnotize them out of that, Nick? What's going on there? Why are these people acting like that? And what the fuck can we do about it?
So I'm not sure which thing you're talking about. So let me break it down. So are we talking about like people have an implicit association with say behavior of fraternities, this frat acts this way or whatever. So are we talking about implicit association?
I think maybe it goes really quickly to groupthink. I think that's okay. This is a conversation about groupthink.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're with people totally. So everyone knows already you become the average of the people you spend the most time around, say five people, right? So starting there, I put it this way, inputs. What are the inputs? And then what's the output? So inputs is like, if I hang out with five people who just complain, they're like, Sharon said this to me at work, but you know what? Actually, she doesn't even do that. They're smoking a cigarette, right? They're playing Candy Crush. They're 85. Right? Did you hear what she said to me? Jenny won't text
me. There's people doing that right now. Right now. Some fucking asshole.
Right now. Okay, check yourself. That checkpoint. Just checkpoint. Are you right now? Jenny won't text me back. You text me on scene. Be real. Be real with yourself. Are you
doing a cigarette, playing fucking Candy Crush in the fucking doorway of a Home Depot break room?
Some guy with earplugs is vaping right now, listening to this, turning it off. Like,
we're just telling him all the ways that he's hypnotized and his mind is not even his own. And he's just being used by the powers that be to just be manipulated into acting certain ways in society.
It's weird. Substance. Let's talk about that for a second. Okay. Now, look at me. I like my coffee. I like my supplements, my L-theanine, you know. Yeah. I like my melatonin. I'm not hating. I like a drink once in a while. But look, there's a threshold of, like, did you become the substance?
Don't scare me like that, Nick.
Okay, let's talk about – I'm from Miami, Florida, friends. And here's what I'm going to tell you about Miami. Miami is the only place in the world where no matter how rich and successful you get, you will always live next to a crackhead. They could be a millionaire and they're still going to have a habit, okay? So it's widespread. It's rampant. I'm not making fun of those people. I feel for them. But like, dang, if the substance is driving you, you know who's mastered this is, I got to say it, Uber Eats. And I use it, so I'm not hating. But look, they know when you're hungry. They know when they're hungry and you're suggestible. They find you when you're suggestible.
They do. And then you get that stupid Postmates text for $19 off your order and you buy that shit.
Absolutely. I would. It works.
Yeah. I had Uber Eats like every day for the last like 4 or 5 days because I've been traveling. I got to go to the grocery store today. But
sure. Absolutely. So here's another thing, another audit for you. Is look at the past 20 or 50 notifications you got on your phone and ask, did you really need that? Did it help you? Your friend that you don't talk to anymore from high school posted on Snapchat. That girl that you know doesn't even know who you are went live on Instagram. Why are you getting those notifications? Turn that off. Uninstall that. It's hijacking your attention.
Bro, I hate my phone. Like, I really dislike my phone. I definitely prefer working on my computer.
Yeah.
Like doing Instagram stories is I feel the effects of working on my phone, dog. I really do. I get feelings in my head that I did not used to have. And it's just from being on your fucking phone all day. Fucking drives me crazy, bro.
Yeah. So here's a useful piece is we're gonna be on the internet, right? We're gonna have the thing. So how do you use it and how do you skillfully navigate it so you don't get your brain hijacked like a zombie, like a hamster?
Yeah, it's bad.
Being a little hamster wheel, you know, working your fingers to the bone, putting your excess time, attention, energy, and income to someone else. Stop that. So how do you do it? One way is find the trigger points. Where did you get lost? What was the last thing you remember? I'll ask you, what's the last thing that I did before you got hypnotized? What did I say? The last thing you remember was that I shook your hand. Okay. So when is the last thing that you remember before you spent 85 minutes on TikTok? Did you get a notification? Did you get an email? Find that trigger point and cut it off.
Dog, I'm blown away by the man that this guy's really actually dropping on my podcast today, because that's some straight fucking fire. That is a life-changing fucking skill to have. If you absolutely can observe. I've been working, because I'm an addict. I've been a fucking insane person since I was 15, right?
And we all are.
AA for 6 months when I was 18, right? Because I had like my second DUI by the time, or first.
Let's make it a hat trick.
What?
Nothing.
I had to observe and learn my trigger points. Like, bro, I had a problem with, bro, if there was alcohol in the house, I could not drink it.
Yep.
And I could not drink all of it. And it was so bad. Mm. Oh my God. So I had to really learn where to spot that and go from this way to that way. Because if you start in New York and you're trying to go to London and you go 3 degrees to the right, you're going to end up in fucking Africa.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's insane. You know, and I want to give a huge shout out to all of those people who are in recovery, doing recovery, did it, or thinking about it. There is no one more courageous on planet Earth than you guys. So shout out to those people. Believe in that to a huge degree. But yeah, things that you got to do, people, places, things, triggers. You know, some people can go to a bar after and they kind of clean themselves up. Some people, they can't go back to a club because there's going to be something there that's not good for them. Some people, it's like, I can't hang out with you anymore. I can't be with my ex anymore because blah, blah, blah. We enable each other, and just being real with that and doing audits and inventories, getting other people too. Some people will tell me like, Nick, you do this. Nick, you need to chill about this. Why do you always do that, man? Why do you always say that? And listen, sometimes it's the haters too. Sometimes the haters will tell you things that your friends maybe won't. And it's scary, you know.
Do you listen to them? Do you hear it or not?
It's you can't internalize it. You can't let it shake you. But let's say, you know, if four different people, one of whom I know and three of whom I don't, for example, say that I am monotone or something like that, they might have a point. Does that mean I have to change it? Not necessarily, but it's just awareness, yeah. Right?
I think the context of it depends a ton. I think
for sure. That's a hard thing to say, but we got heavy for a second there.
It's all good. We got the podcast pyramids. We have the Tree of Life pyramids to match.
Oh, dude, I got mine. Hold up.
Oh, you got your pyramid. Hey, you got a pyramid.
I got a couple actually. I got a mini pyramid.
Check that shit out. That's gold flakes. We got gold flakes.
I love it. Amazing.
Yeah, man. No, talk more about the trigger points. Tell us more about that. I'm interested to like go, you know, just go as deep as you can on trigger points for a minute, man.
Trigger points. So when we're saying trigger points, talking possibly about what is one behavior that leads into another, that's one form of trigger point. And another is like an emotional trigger. Why did I get triggered by this? So first let's do the behavior one. Yeah. So three parts to a habit is what initiates that habit, the trigger, the execution of the habit itself, like smoking a cigarette, and then the reward or consequence of it. If you can change any or all of those three, then you can change the habit. Some are harder than others. So with a cigarette, maybe every time that you're drinking or whatever you do it, maybe when you walk out the door at work and you have that 15-minute break, you do it every time. So if you can interrupt the trigger, that's one way. Another way is to have another thing. Instead of doing cigarettes, I'm going to chew on one of these little tea leaf things, or I'm going to do a breathing, you know, 5 minutes of breath work. That'll fix you. You'll be a beast if you do that instead, or five pushups, whatever. And then the routine the reward or consequence, that's a big part of it, is I can make people with hypnosis associate cigarette smoking with absolute disgust. It's going to taste so powerful, like cat shit, man. Like when they're deep enough.
Bro, I'm sorry. You're fucking freaking me out, man. Because if you could do the reverse of that, like Owen talks about, and like get people bought into their dreams by associating like feelings of success and like power and wealth with like the boring shit that they don't want to do in their business, you'd fucking change people's lives, you know, bro? Like, you're fucking crazy.
Absolutely. Yeah. So associating unpleasant things with a pleasant outcome. Example given is the minutiae and like annoying tasks that you just have to do. So one thing I do is I think about who's not doing it. I think about whose ass is sitting down there doing nothing right now, and I'm actually doing it. And I think about the end result, and I try to get myself in a flow state, and I say things like, I don't gotta like it, I just gotta do it. And you can totally change it with hypnosis, some things more so than others, but yeah, absolutely. I guess big picture thinking is the solution to so many things. One thing I've learned from a mentor I had is if your big picture vision or why is aligned, then many of those small moment to moment decisions become very automatic and you're willing to suffer and grind in a way that most people aren't, if you can support that, that vision at the end. Yeah.
That's super true.
Yeah. And then, okay. So other trigger was getting emotionally triggered. Somebody says something and it's hard because, you know, when you get triggered, maybe you have a valid reason, but perhaps your reaction was out of proportion. Someone said something that was kind of annoying and you flip out. So it's usually an indicator. You're not going to like what I'm about to say, guys. It's an indicator of a place that you need to revisit or work on and start peeling away the layers of the onion. You can do this in hypnosis and define when was the first time that this happened. Was it before or after this date? And you start digging in and you find root causes and you reconcile them or you let them go or you embrace it or whatever. Yeah.
That's crazy, man. That's fucking crazy. Like, you know, it's like our mind holds stuff. Like, you can shake it out. Like, you can, like, shake your mind out like a fucking towel if you really kind of
get
to the root causes.
That's a great point. That's another one, is that we're not static. We're very plastic. And that you have, I wanted to talk about, like, storytelling and narratives. You have a self-identity, a self-concept, and narrative story that you tell about yourself and have been for a long, long time. And many people think that the success has to take years and years. Not necessarily. Somebody somewhere did it faster than you. You see this all the time, because when I used to teach classes in graphic design and stuff, for example, the kids are programmed to believe, I need to go to school for 4 years, graduate school for 2 years, do this, work for someone else for 3 to 5 years, and then I can charge, you know, $500 for a logo or something. They think that's a lot of money. And then meanwhile, there's a kid somewhere who has absolutely no limiting beliefs, who just fails and goes crazy. And it's a 16-year-old kid who's charging $2,000 for a logo because they don't give a fuck and they don't have that limiting belief. And they just said, let's do it. Let's see what happens. Right. So you're playing out a weird story. And man, this is the biggest thing I see that is crazy, is you create instantaneous fixes with hypnosis. One of the things I saw that got me on board, that just, I could not believe what I saw. There's this kid at an event, a conference, stuttering really bad. There's a hypnotist out there. He's like, are you stuttering? Come on up. I'll fix it. I'll fix it right now. And he does. And like, the stutter goes away completely. He speaks normal. And then at the end, he's like, thank you. And then he starts stuttering again, goes sit back down, because he wasn't ready for that yet to stop. He didn't want to stop stuttering. And what so many people do is that they don't want to be successful.
Yeah.
They don't want to be happy, or they think they want it to take forever. So there's a weird thing that, like, even though I could do one and done, sometimes I would do one session with people, is that there is not a satisfaction. So, and I'll, if you doubt me, let me ask you this question. Suppose that, like, you are enamored with the idea of, like, becoming a Navy SEAL and getting the trident and going through Hell Week and all that. Well, what if it wasn't that hard and you could just press a button? What if you could press a button, boom, you're a Navy SEAL, you have the body and you have the uniform? That's not epic, right? You think about Jackie Chan movies. What happens before the big fighter, where he always gets his ass whooped? You have to. Yeah, so people have a story where they need a perceived struggle, and
it's human nature. I think that's baked into human nature. I don't even think that's like a perceived thing. I think that's like a very real fucking thing that people don't know how to overcome.
Yeah. And I think part of the reason is that we still have these brains and these bodies of early primate days, where we did have to suffer. You did have to go in the cold. You might have starved and died. Not everyone made it to age 30 or 40, right? That would be a big deal. You got some gray hairs. You had to chase a buffalo or whatever around for hours. So you did have to suffer. So the idea that you can just do Uber Eats and order a dead cooked animal to your door without doing anything is kind of, it's unreal. to our ancestors. Unreal.
Yeah, that would fuck me up if I wasn't sitting there working all day. I'd be like, this is weird. No, yeah. But it's I mean, I literally, like you're saying this, and I'm like, I'm seeing, you know, it's making me think of the way that I could, you know, and have done it in my own life. And
yeah,
like, and it's funny, like it's, I say this to my therapist, like often, is I'm just like, I don't know why I did not take an easier business path. Like I was like very all over the place, like learned about a lot of things, but I just didn't want to. It's not that I wasn't ready mm-hmm. to be. I was like, I'm still like, bro, like I think somewhere in my head, I just had it that like, I just want to do basic, like I read the Laws of Mastery by Robert Greene like 3 times, literally, not like, but like actually 3 times. And you just, because you want to have like a period in your life, like at least a 7-year period in your life where you just fucking apprentice for the best people you can, or you know, mentors, or you know, and you just kind of get out there and you just learn for 7 years. The first 7 years don't count. The first 7 years don't even fucking count. You just throw shit at the wall. Mm-hmm. And then after that, by the time you're done with that, then you're like a fucking savage in the game. And that I feel much like I look at my skills, my skill sets and my abilities and my performances and what I can do. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's really all coming true now. I feel like I'm really about to plug in some shit from everything I've ever learned all over. And I'm really, it's just all going to come together.
So. Dude, totally. So let's look at that. So two competing things. So here's another thing people can do is look at two modalities or two belief systems and compare them. And more often than not, you find the answers in the middle. So he says 7 years. Well, I would say not always. I did a lot of my hypnosis school. You know, it's about a 1 to 2 year program. I did it in 3 months because I'm a maniac. And I was hypnotizing people while I was still in school and immediately after, charging more than a lot of people who've been doing this for 20 to 40 years.
No, and absolutely, man. I mean, just to clarify, I mean, I was like learning shit in every area of life, like taking sweet ass time with it. It wasn't ever like specifically on like, and that was kind of the problem too, is I didn't have a specific one end goal. I was like, well, I'm just going to go learn business. And I did, and I do know it. And then now that I put it into practice, and we've had some time with that, now I feel like, you know, it's just, that's excellent.
Absolutely. So that's the flip side of the coin is like, man, you can take your time and it is okay to fail. And one of the biggest pain points I see, especially for younger folk, is that they're like 18 and they're like, I don't know what I want to do. And I'm like, yeah, no kidding. Like you haven't done anything except be in like the school system your whole life. Like go do different jobs, you know, work a 9-to-5. Like, okay, so here's how I figured it out is I used to work in corporate finance. I was a youngin', I was a kid. I went into this place, energy conglomerate, went in there and I grab an omelet from the cafeteria in the morning. And I'm just like kind of complaining to the guy there. And he's like, well, hey, how old are you? And I'm like 22. And he's like, oh, you only got to do it for 43 more years. And it checked me. And I'll never forget that conversation. And I go back to the cubicle and I'm like, this is not for me. It is fucked up, but I'm glad he said that. I'll never forget that smile on his face. I'm looking down at my omelet and I'm like, god damn, I'm like, fuck. So
fuck this omelet.
Knowing what you don't like is very valuable information. Yeah, underrated. Failing is underrated, undervalued.
Success requires failure.
Say again?
Success requires failure.
Yeah, success requires failure by
definition. Literally, not figuratively, failure is success is required.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not, that's another thing. People tend to phrase success as like, I'm going to make it. I hit the finish line. It's like, no, that's the finish line moves.
Oh, that's fucking hilarious. That's just a fucking toxic. That's a terrible way to think.
Yeah. Oh, man. You need to, if that's where you're at, of like so many people think, I'm going to get my degree and then that's the finish line. I'm going to work happily ever after doing my dream job. And it's like, You chill, man.
Dude, so here, let's give them the keys to that one. Because if they're stuck dealing with that, let's give them just the real quick and dirty on that, man. Because that's a terrible fucking way to go through. And such a disappointing way to go through. You will be continually disappointed for the rest of your life. Because this is all we have, is the now. And the journey is the reward. Like what we were saying earlier, like if you don't struggle for it and you don't work for it and it's not hard in some capacity, it's not going to be worth anything to you when you get it. I can attest to that. I know that to be true in my own life. So.
Absolutely. Well, absolutely. So that's just a weird thing that we do. We sell people these ideas or visions of how stuff is supposed
it's
to
such
be
a false narrative, man. Like
weird.
It's like, bro. And I'll say, like, just to bro, one of the happiest time periods of my life was when I lived in like the ghetto of Orlando, Florida, off of fucking Holden in Texas, bro. Off of Holden in Texas, son. Like right off OBT, like right and going over towards Mall of Millennia.
My brother got shot at over there. He's laughing.
Yeah, that was it. That was the place.
Dude, yeah, I know, bro. That is.
Thank you for proving my point, because people like I say, like literally, like yeah, I would ride my fucking bike around the body bags on the way to school in the morning, and people think I'm fucking joking, and I'm not. Not at all.
That's
like,
real.
Right there, I saw it. Fucking right there. So yeah, dog. But I look back, and because I was struggling so hard to get through school and to work overnight at Home Depot and to go fucking donate plasma twice a week. And my girlfriend worked 2-3 jobs. And it was just like crazy, but it was stable in its own way. And it felt good. It was like, even though I was like fucking miserable at the time, I look back on it as like one of the best time periods of my life.
Sure. Absolutely. I'm sure a lot of people listening right now feel that way. When you that's another thing, is memories are not an absolute. They're not real. When you recall something, when you remember something, it gets filtered through where you're at now. You leave out details, it changes every single time.
Yep.
And that's why they're starting to, I believe.
Can you believe they didn't fucking tell us that in school? Can you fucking believe that? That should be a fucking crime to teach people that their brains don't work like that anyway.
Yeah, it's weird. If you didn't write it down, if you didn't get a transcript, if you didn't video it or something, like,
it's fuzzy as shit. It's kind of like your imagination working in reverse.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically.
That's one of the biggest rules we have for hypnosis, is that you don't do like a memory regression, because people invent. And as a matter of fact, they throw out court evidence by people who were hypnotized on a subject, because hypnosis is so
super real. I mean, you can implant and take out memories kind of at will.
Yeah.
So
exactly. Yeah, it's weird.
Probably not great to fuck
with. Man, a lot of people are thinking, oh, high school was the best years of my life. I don't know, maybe. It wasn't for me, but people remember the good and they romanticize it and they forget about the crappy things. And yeah, it's just wild.
True, man. Absolutely. I mean, maybe that's what's happening there with my little, loop there in Orlando. Like, it really was a very tough time. And, you know, maybe had it not turned out so fucking well, maybe I wouldn't be saying this right now, you know. But no, I remember at the time being thankful. It's funny. I remember it being the time where I had become thankful for my past struggles, even though I had new struggles, but I was okay with all of them. And then everything in my past, I was like, whoa. I was like, yo, if that didn't happen, I wouldn't be like this. And if this didn't happen, I wouldn't be. I was like, I'm the most interesting man in the world.
Yeah, it's a piece. It's a stepping stone that you can't take out. You can't take out that arc of the story. Absolutely. I was reading the David Goggins book, Can't Hurt Me, and he's like, the rough upbringing, just brutal, brutal upbringing, it makes the story so much better. You got to have that. Yeah. So this is I know we're do you run for an hour? I forget.
Oh, I'm good, man. I got dude. Today is like I fucking am just kind of like annoyed at the world today, bro. I'm just like fucking. I'm chilling. This is the best thing I have to do. I was negotiating a $90,000 deal, like right before this. Had a deal come in. County says it's worth 141, son. And even if I gave them $90 for it, the asking price that they wanted, I'd fucking, I'd still do fine. But I don't know. I'm off today. I'm definitely, I've just, the traveling has caught up with me. And I was like, I'll give you 70 for it. I'll give you 70 for it. It hasn't sold. It's been on the market for 651 days. So.
Jeez.
Anyway, we'll see what happens with that. So that's a little bit exciting. And then, this is the best part of my day, man. Continue. I'm intrigued. Continue.
Absolutely. Yeah, let's I've got a couple other things we could bounce off of, but the one thing that could be very useful just creating value for people is coming back to identity, perceptions, and stories. How do we create value with a brand, right? So I am not Nicholas Aguirre, the certified hypnotherapist. I'm Nick Gnosis. And you are the high vibration hustle, traveling traders, right? Creating a larger than life entity and presence that creates value in such a way you can charge a premium. I want to hear your thoughts on this. How do people do that? Why do people pay $7 for a freaking cup of Starbucks?
Oh, that's a good question, man. I mean, no one's immune to it, right? I'll just say this, just kind of the raw thoughts is like, if I'm making a buying decision to buy something, like for example, dude, like it's when I pay more for something, if I feel like I got a deal on it, even if it was more expensive, I still feel good about it. But if something is just too cheap, I just like don't even want it. Like this place right here is like, this is like a $6,000. This is easily a $200 a night place, like easily. And I got it for fucking $50. And I was almost just like, geez. I was like, man. But go ahead.
Yeah, it's that psychology of value. Yeah, yeah. I had a buddy who was just starting off, spiritual entrepreneur, and he was charging $20 a meditation session. And I was like, how many of you sold? And he's like, none. As like, dude, why don't you try like 100, 200 at least? And there's something about it that when you pay that kind of money, you are creating a story. You're framing it different in your mind. You're putting more emotional weight on it. You're going to prepare for the session. You're going to take notes. You're going to reread those notes. It's going to be a checkpoint in your life, a stepping stone. So when you have these conferences and seminars, you're just listening to some dude flap his mouth for hours. Well, I'm happy to pay $1,000, $3,000 to do that because now this whole weekend is an event and we're going there together. People get pumped. It's a big deal, right?
Dude, exactly. Like not only that, one thing I would add to that is that I think over time, after investing in myself, investing over $100,000 in myself, in mentors, blah, blah, blah. It creates, I think your body knows and keeps track of how much money you have and kind of how far it'll go. And then, you're spending, $5,000, whatever it is with a coach or whatever. And your body knows, yo, we got to go do some shit to get that back.
Yeah. Oh, dude, totally. It's like you're parting with a resource and your brain knows that. Yeah. To prove the point, back to conferences, workshops, when people give away a ticket to their family, how often do they actually come?
Never.
And if they do, they don't take notes. They don't network. They don't listen. It's insane that your body, your brain somehow knows you have parted with a resource. You need to make this work. This has to work, right? And there's just something about it. Yeah.
It makes you more, it just makes you more hypervigilant. I mean, think about it like back in the day, we were hunting, right? It's like, yo, we found the one fucking elk we've seen after 6 hours of fucking walking in the frozen shit out there, you know, away from our tribe back at the camp. And we see the one fucking elk that we've seen for the last 6 hours in the frozen desert. We've got to kill that motherfucker. We cannot afford to expend the energy of going after it and miss.
Yeah, exactly.
So you pick that in your fucking brain.
Absolutely. There's, for those of you people who maybe you've thought about a program or something and you're like, oh, it's too much money and you're getting comfortable. Like, how about putting yourself in a position where it's like, if you're working a 9-to-5, you're doing a job and you want to like quit. A lot of the times people just, they're not going to do that because they're comfortable and they're not going to take the risk and they don't want to spend the money. What if you put yourself, I wonder what would happen if you put yourself in a position that you cannot fail? You literally have no option.
Burn the boats.
You burn the boats.
Burn the boats. I love burning the boats, man. I burn the boats like once every fucking little while, dude. Just for shipping gigs. That's kind of part of this whole moving to a new place on Airbnb is to, so I don't get fucking comfortable. That's the whole reason.
Yeah.
It forces me to be like, where's the new grocery? Everything's new. The whole fucking thing. Everywhere I go, everything's new. Where's the new grocery store? Where's the new this? Where's the new? And you get your brain just wakes up. It just is awake.
You have to. Yeah. So that comes back to patterns. So Philip has an excellent way of creating new patterns and forcing himself out of old patterns is, yeah.
Bro, I was asleep at the fucking wheel in Orlando. Dude, I just got on the fucking hamster wheel of like waking up, learning about trading, going to jujitsu, doing my Airbnb thing, and then go out for the night. And I wanted to work harder than I was, but there's no way on earth I was going to work that as hard as I did once I left and moved on to Airbnb. And I was like, oh, fuck, if this don't work, I'm going to fucking be living under a bridge. Yep. You know, like, so it's like, all right, you know, that's a whole new level.
Great. I love that. So perhaps we can, we'll end on that note and say, if you're comfortable, if you're stuck where you are and you're saying, I'm going to get to it one day, I'm going to do this. Are you really when? Tell me the day that you're actually going to quit. Pick a day on the calendar you're going to quit.
Yeah. I mean, okay. If you're going to do it, schedule it.
Yeah.
That's an extremely powerful thing as well. Man, Nick, this whole podcast is fucking packed with value for people, man. I really appreciate you coming on, dog. Tell them again, where can they find you?
Absolutely, friends. I am Nick Gnosis. You can find me on Instagram at Nick Gnosis. That's NicNosis. If you want to know more about hypnosis, hit me up. If you're skeptical, you don't know what to think, come find me. I will make you a believer. This doesn't have to take years and years and years. You can change quickly.
That's a beautiful thing, man. All right, guys, at Nick Gnosis on Instagram. Thanks for tuning in. Go check this guy out. This guy's a fucking character. So check this guy out. All right, guys.
Easy.